man, I'm gonna laugh in my head every time I hear that music for this series. It's got like Weird Al vibes because I'm definitely not Snoop Dogg, so that's probably where we're going with that. But hey, we are in week two of our series that we kicked off last week called Believe. I typically don't use the podium. I'm using it this week. It was a little bit of a different week for me this week, and just probably coming down off of the Easter hangover from last week, and just kind of looking at the topic that we have for this week, and knowing that we've got the family meeting. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter sermon for this morning, and quite honestly, what we're going to be looking at is the kind of the kickstart for the rest of the six-week series, because if you look at the book of Romans, this idea of what we're talking about this morning, what is righteousness, is kind of the theme for the rest of the book. And so next week, I'm going to be at Lighthouse. Fritz is going to be here, and we're going to be continuing the series by looking at the remainder of chapter one, and it's basically the danger of ignoring God. And then I'll be back the week after that to talk about chapter two, which is the danger of working towards God. And I had an interesting like dilemma with that, because I feel like this idea of what is righteousness goes a lot with what I'm going to be talking about in 2 weeks, with the danger of working towards God. Because when we look at this term righteousness, the definition of righteousness is being in a right relationship with the Lord, okay? And we'll kind of unpack what that looks like and what that means. But I think the way that a lot of us have looked at that, and just religion itself has kind of taught that, is the way that you get right with God is you do things that please Him. You work and you put in effort and you do all of the right things. You be a good boy, you be a good girl, and you earn it. And I was listening to something just yesterday, and I believe that this is true, of we live in a society that is a works-based righteousness society. You know, my boys are going to go play baseball later on this afternoon, and you know, youth sports is kind of like an interesting thing where we get upset about participation trophies, right? You didn't earn anything. They just handed it to you. And yet, that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about. The way that we get right with God, the way that we are made right with God, is by faith. And there's been some interesting like arguments over, is faith a work? Did you do something to earn God's righteousness? And there has been debate over this. I was spending most of my week reading Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. And if anybody wants a migraine or a nap, find that book and read it. It's good, but I came home from work on Tuesday, and I looked at Sarah, and she's like, so what are you teaching about this week? And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. Because my head hurts, and I'm done, I'm spent, and I'm over it. But basically what Wayne Grudem has kind of gone through and he's done is he's taken everything that the Bible talks about as far as righteousness and in the term justification, and he has kind of woven it all together to say, okay, this is what the entire Bible is talking about when we're talking about this subject. And what was really interesting is he referenced two very famous, very smart, very influential teachers, and they were on opposite ends of the spectrum on this. One guy was saying this, and one guy was saying that. And these are two guys that I've listened to their teaching, I've read their books, and I'm like, I would imagine that these guys would be, you know, unified on this kind of thing, and that wasn't the case. And so We're going to be in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, just two very short verses. So I'm going to read those real quick. Before I do that, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for what we are about to talk about. Lord, righteousness is a gift that is freely given by the grace of God. And the only thing that we have to do in order to receive that is to believe. And so, Lord, I pray that this week is a kickstart to a journey that we all start to go down, where we read your word and we see just the difficult dichotomy of that. Lord, it is not works, it is not effort, it is not any of that kind of stuff and earning that saves us. You did that. And simply by believing that you did it, that you paid it all, we get to receive that as a gift. And so I pray that that your word speaks clearly and that any just human nature that is in us that wants to argue with your word would just be silenced, and that we would hear the gospel maybe for the very first time this morning, and that as we go through this series, as we talk about what it means to believe, what it means to live by faith, that we would understand that more and more clearly, and we would submit and we would rest in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so our two key verses for this morning are verses 16 and 17. And I'll be honest with you, I've got it in the NIV, and that's what we're going to read it in. But the NLT is super helpful for Romans. There are times, like, if you read different translations of the Bible, you can read, like, more word for word, thought for thought, some of that kind of stuff. I was listening to someone read some of the passages that we're going to talk about in coming weeks, and they were reading, I think, from a more like literal word for word translation, and it was unreadable. It was ununderstandable because it just doesn't translate well. And the NLT is kind of a paraphrased version, and it takes some of the concepts and some of the words. And it puts it in a little bit better, just way to understand. And so don't be afraid to switch up translations from time to time. What I typically try to do is read, like, multiple translations. And when you do that, you get a better picture of everything that's going on. You get, like, the literal translation. You get more of a paraphrased translation. The NIV is kind of an in-between. And so we'll read it in this, and then I'll kind of talk to you about what the NLT says that I thought was pretty helpful. So verse 16 says this: "For I," this is Paul speaking, "am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And so when I read that in the NLT, a couple just quick differences that they use, and again, it's not different as in different meaning, it's different as in different words being used. When it talks about righteousness, it talks about being made right. And when it talks about faith from first to last, it talks about faith from start to finish. I thought those were really important and really interesting just translation differences there that kind of help to illuminate what's going on. And so it kind of speaks to that whole, like, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, faith from first to last. And so those are some things that we're going to kind of unpack here. And so again, that term righteousness is a legal term that means to be justified. So when we become the righteousness of God, it means that we've become justified in his sight. We've been made right by God. And the interesting part of this is it is a one-time declaration. Christ died once and for all. This isn't something that has to continue to happen again and again and again. When we come to faith, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross, in his resurrection that we talked about last week, it means that our debts have been paid and that there will never again be a debt on our life. Our guilt is no longer counted against us. And guys, that is mind-boggling to me. That when Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sin. I wasn't even born yet. I wasn't even like a twinkling in my parents' eye, right? Okay, it was 2,000 years before I was even around. He died for all of the sins that had come before him. And he died for the sins of the people who were there when it happened. He died for the sins of the people, as Peter talks about, who were responsible for his death. That's why he died. And through his death, he has opened the door to this righteous life, this justification. Okay? And one of the things that was interesting as you read through this and you studied some of these types of things is it is not a righteousness that changes us from the inside. And that was hard for me to figure out. And basically, the reason that is there is a heart change that begins to happen. But this justification and this righteousness is essentially an outward righteousness that God places on us. There's a story in the Bible where it talks about how all of these people were invited to a wedding. And all of them came up with really, really good excuses as to why they couldn't go to this wedding. Okay? And so the master of the feast tells his servants, hey, go out to the highways and the byways. Go out and find people. Give them these wedding garments and invite them in. And as Jesus was telling this parable, as he was telling this story, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, got really, really upset because the highways and the byways would have been where the sinners were. It would have been where the Gentiles were. It would have been where the unworthy people were. And you're telling me you're inviting those people in. Okay? Now, that story goes on and that feast happens, but there's one person who forgot to put on their clothes. He was given the clothes to wear, and he showed up without them on, okay? And, you know, our religious minds would be like, well, that means you got to, like, put on your best clothes, right? You got to put on your best dress clothes, and you got to show up with your shirt and tie, and obviously that's not the route we take, okay? That is not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the righteousness that God freely offers us. He clothes us in his righteousness when we come to faith. He dresses us in his garments. And what I've seen and you know what I've heard is that we, when God looks at us, he sees his son. And that's got nothing to do with anything that we have done. And the thing is like work is not an attempt to be righteous, right? There is effort, there is work. Obviously, we're talking about serving the church, all of that kind of stuff. And when we come to faith, there will be things in our life that change. There's going to be things in our life that have to change. But those changes are a result of the work that Christ has done already. Those works are a result of the righteousness that we've received as a gift. And guys, this is why Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation. I mean, Martin Luther was trying to earn righteousness. He was trying to follow the rules. He was trying to be right in God's sight by doing all sorts of things. If you read anything about Martin Luther, like, the guy would not sleep with blankets on because he didn't feel like he deserved them. He would, like, whip himself because he felt like he deserved to be beaten. And he would go and he would confess to his mentor for, like, hours at a time, to the point where his mentor literally looked at him and is like, hey, man, you need to go out and, like, actually sin, because the things that you're coming here and talking to me about are ridiculous. Like, get over it and receive the grace of God. And it led him down this study of this idea of justification. How in the world do I get made right with God? And when he started to read the Bible for himself and study it, he found out that righteousness is a gift that is freely given by grace through faith. It happens when we believe. When we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, when we believe that he paid it all, once and for all, and that we now get to benefit from that work. I mean, that freed him. It freed him from this life of bondage that he had been living, and this idea that he had to somehow attain this gift, and that he could be just given this idea. Now, this wasn't something that was new. There are a lot of people that'd be like, well, that's a new thing. That's not what God was always like. That's not how this faith has always been about. You know, this is something that is kind of a new idea. And it's really interesting because Romans 4, which we're not going to get to in this series, but Romans 4 just, man, it lasers in on something that happened all the way back in Genesis. Genesis 15:6 says that Abraham believed, and he was credited, or it was credited to him as righteousness. So what's going on here is God has come to Abraham, who is like 90 to 100 years old. And he's like, hey, man, you don't have any kids, but you will. And your descendants will outnumber the stars. And Abraham believed him. And that by that belief, by that faith, he was then credited righteousness as a gift. Now, people will go and they'll point to, like, all of the things that Abraham did, and he was all of this amazing thing. The really crazy part is like, he hadn't done anything that was then required. This was before the law even existed, and he hadn't done anything that God had required him to do or asked him to do. He was credited righteousness first. And it happened by faith. It's the first thing that happens. Now, in Genesis 17, we see Abraham get circumcised. God puts that requirement on him and says, hey, consecrate yourself, set yourself apart, be circumcised. He was already righteous. He was then circumcised to set himself apart because of the righteousness he'd already received. In Genesis 22, he sacrifices his son. And you know why he was able to sacrifice his son Isaac and take him up on the mountain and do something that, like, to us is unthinkable? Because he believed that even if his son had died, God could bring him back from the dead. He had faith. And that faith brought him to righteousness. It's crazy because it's like, it reminded me of like the Israelites in the wilderness, okay? The Israelites who enter into the wilderness through the Red Sea with Moses had all been circumcised. But they didn't believe that God could deliver them and save them and continue to help them in the wilderness. Their children did. Their children had faith. And their children were the ones who were chosen to enter into the promised land. Once they did, they were circumcised. It happened as a result of their faith. It happened as a result of the grace of God who had already given that to them freely. And so when we look through this and we think about this, okay, righteousness is a result of God's work. And it's a result of our faith in that work. And so why would Paul start with, "I'm not ashamed of this"? That was a big question when we were kind of wrestling through this in teaching team. Why in the world would he say that? Well, when you really get down to it, what is this saying? You can't do this on your own. You're incapable. Okay? When I believe in Christ, I've got to set my pride aside, and I've got to realize I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need to be led because I am lost. And in the Jewish culture, in the Greek culture, in our culture, man, to admit that, that would bring shame, right? It would bring shame and guilt and dishonor. And yet, as Christians, we say, "I'm not ashamed of that." Actually, that's the one thing I will boast in. I will boast in the work of the Lord who has saved me and who has given me as a free gift of grace the righteousness only his Son, only Jesus, was able to attain. And for that, I am unashamed. It's interesting when you look into that, because again, like I said, this is kind of the gateway into the rest of the book of Romans. Romans 15:17 says this, and this is towards the end of the book, okay? It says, "In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God." Will we do things? Will we work? Will we, you know, serve and do all of those things? Absolutely. But my pride is in Christ Jesus, in the work that he has done that has allowed me. James talks about this, and this is where it got a little confusing for some people. It talks about being justified by our works. The whole faith without works is dead, okay? But that term justify is a completely different term than this term for righteousness. See, when we are justified by God and made right, okay, that's that legal declaration. What James is talking about is once that happens, then the things that we do, the obedience that we show, the way that we listen to the Lord will prove that this has already taken place. So when we are justified by God's work, we then prove that his work was final and his work was set in our hearts by doing the work that he's called us to do. So as I stand here in front of you and just think about, man, that free gift of grace and that idea of being unashamed of that, I wrestle with that. Is that how I live? Am I unashamed to say that I am a sinner? I need saved. And that by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, I have been saved. And that I am so helpless that all God's required and asked me to do is believe. And by that belief, he has saved me. Let us pray. Lord, this week, as I studied for this, I just continued to remember the words, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Because Lord, I've read this before, and I've studied this before, and I know this to be true, and yet I turn right around and I go and try to earn it. And Lord, this idea of being credited righteousness, it doesn't make sense. It's not how the world works. But Lord, you're not of this world. Lord, in the same way that sin was credited to us by Adam, righteousness is now credited to us through your son, Jesus. And Lord, what I'm asking is that you would help us to believe. That seems simple, but we make it so hard. And so I pray that this morning that we would hear that truth and that we would wrestle with it, we would think about it. Lord, show me the ways that I am trying to earn the salvation you've already given me. Show me the ways that I'm trying to pay the debts that have already been canceled. And help me to live the life of freedom that you have offered me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for doing what we could never do. And thank you for making it so easy. All we have to do is believe. Help us with our unbelief. I praise in Jesus' name. Amen.